在那里传福音。
And there was one person that really hated his coming more than anybody else.
在当中有一个人最恨他要来了。
That was my great grandfather's great grandfather.
那是我曾祖父的曾祖父。
And his name was James Taylor.
他的名字就是 James Taylor.
I must confess to you that in Western society, the tradition is not the same as in our Chinese society.
我已经跟各位讲过，在西方的社会，我们的传统跟中国人的传统是不一样的。
In Chinese society, the son is never named after his father.
你知道，在中国社会，儿子从来不会叫父亲的名字。
But in my family, for 8 generations,Only 2 generations have not had a James Taylor.
但是在我的家族里面，八代里面只有当中有两代没有这个 James Taylor 这个名。
Now, for some of you young people, when you hear of James Taylor, you think of a singer with a guitar.
你们当中年轻人，当你想到 James Taylor, 也许你又想到一个弹吉他的一个歌唱
者。I'm not talking about him tonight.
今天晚上我不是讲他。
In fact, I've never met him.
其实我从来没有见过他。
Once I was on the telephone and the operator said, "What is your name?"
有一次我在打电话，然后这个联络的人就说你的名字叫什么。
I said James Taylor.
我说 James Taylor.
She said, "Are you the real one?"
他说你是不是那个真的 James Taylor?
I said, "I really am."
我真的是 James Taylor.
Well, when John Wesley came to our home there in Barnsley.James Taylor was ready to stop him preaching.
当约翰卫斯理到了我们的那个家乡班斯林那里，我这位 James Taylor 就几乎要禁止他。
And he usually had some rotten eggs and some tomatoes in his pocket, ready to throw at the preacher.
他常袋子里面放一些番茄，放一些生的蛋，准备要丢去。
I hope none of you have come this evening prepared in that way.
我希望你今天不是这样带着来的。
Well.That day, I don't know whether he threw anything at John Wesley or not.
我不知道那天他有没有向约翰卫斯理丢任何的东西。
But God threw something into James Taylor's heart.
但是神在他的心里丢了一些东西。
He threw his word.
神是把他的话语丢在他的心里。
It was Joshua chapter 24, verse 15.
就是约书亚记24章15节。
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
至于我和我的家，我们都要侍奉耶和华。
He went home.
那他就回家了。
And a few days later, it was his wedding day.
几天以后就是他的婚礼。
He decided it was proper and necessary early that morning to go out into the fields and be quiet to prepare his heart for his big day.
决定那天早晨要很早之后，他要到野外一个安静的地方来预备他的心。
He wasn't going to pray.
他并不是去祷告。
He wasn't a Christian.
因为他根本不是基督徒。
But as he was sitting there quietly in the fields, this verse of scripture came back to his mind.
但是当他安静地坐在野外的时候，圣经这句话又提醒他。
He said, "I don't want to think about that."
他说我不要想这个。
I just want to think about my bride.And our wedding today. And the establishment of our new home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And God just kept bringing this verse back to his heart. Finally, he was under such conviction. He knew that he needed God. He knelt there, confessed his sins, and accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior.
最后他没有办法，不能够拒绝了，他就跪在那里，然后向神认罪，接受耶稣到他的心中。
When he finished praying, he suddenly realized that the time for the wedding was past.
当他祷告完的时候，他发现那婚礼的时间已经过了。
And he flew to the church.And his friends knew something must have happened to him. But his friends were very kind. They arranged the hands of the clock, so he arrived just on time. And so the wedding began. And after the service was over, they had a reception.Now, James Taylor could always tell jokes. And when he arose to speak to his friends who had come for the wedding,
那
Everybody was waiting to hear him tell a joke. And to their amazement, he told them how that day in the fields, before the wedding, he had accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. I think that day the most surprised person was the bride standing at his side. She was so angry, she thought, "You mean I have married one of John Wesley's preachers?" But it was too late. The knot was already tied. Well, they went home. And James Taylor began to pray. And he said, "Lord, I promise, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But Lord, my bride has yet not come to know you yet. But the more he prayed, the harder her heart became. Maybe some of you have had that experience. You've been praying for something, and the more you pray, the farther it seems to get away from you. One day he came home, and his bride, her face was so dark and so long, and she was not happy. And she, I mean, he literally took things into his own hands. He picked his bride up and carried her upstairs. And took her to the bedroom. And then he made her kneel down at the bedside. And he knelt beside her. But he kept his hand on her so she wouldn't run away. And then, with the tears coursing down his cheeks, he prayed for his bride. He said, "Lord, I promised, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But we are not yet united in serving you." And as he prayed, he discovered she was crying. I don't think it was because his hand was so heavy. She began to confess her sins. And that day, she accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. Now, I did not tell you this testimony this evening to introduce a new method of evangelism. If you use this method of evangelism,
I will not be held responsible.
But just to say that 218 years ago, at this time, God's grace came into our family. And I just want to stand here before you this evening and say, to God be the glory. And I long that for you and your family, the next generation and the next will also serve God as He has graciously allowed our family to serve Him. Tomorrow evening I will share another testimony, more recent times. Let's turn together to God's Word. Colossians chapter 1. New Testament, Colossians chapter 1. Let's read first from verse 3 to 6.
We先读第三节到第六节。我想我们 绝大多数的弟兄姊妹有中文圣经，我们一起来念中文好不好？三节到第六节，来，我们感谢神，我们主耶稣基督的父，
常常为你们祷告，因听见你们在基督耶稣里的信心，并向众生徒的爱心，是为那给你们存在天上的盼望。这盼望就是你们从前在福音真理上所听见的。这福音传到你们那里，也传到普天之下，并且结果子如同在中间，自从你们听见主恩真的恩惠的日子一样。再请看九节到十二节 ,9 to 12, 来。因此我们自从听见的日子，也就为你们不住的祷告祈求，愿你们在一切属灵的智慧悟性上满心知道神的旨意，好叫你们行事为人对得起主，凡事蒙他喜悦，在一切善事上结果子，渐渐的多知道神，照他荣耀的得以在各样的上加力，好叫你们凡事欢喜欢乐，又感谢父，教我们能与众生徒在光明中同得基业。And then verse 27 and 28. 27, 28节。来，我们一起。神知道这奥秘在外邦人中有何等丰盛的荣耀，就是基督在你们心里成了有荣耀的盼望。我们传的是百万教会，劝诫个人，教导个人，要把个人在基督里完完全全引到圣面前。And then turn please to 1 Peter chapter 1.
我们再看彼得前书第一章。
Verse 13 to 16.
13 to 16.
Let's read together again, please. 所以要约束你们的心，谨慎自守，专心盼望耶稣基督显现的时候所带给你们的恩。你们既做顺命的儿女，就不要效法从蒙昧无知的时候那放纵情的样子，那照你们既是圣洁，你们在一切所行的事上也要圣洁，因为经上记着说，你们要圣洁，因为我是圣洁的。 Shall we pray? Father, speak to us from your word this evening.
天父，祈求你今天晚上透过你的话语向我们说话。
And may the beauty of Jesus be seen in each of our lives.
愿主耶稣基督的荣美能在我们每一个人的身上彰显出来。
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Last night we thought together about the foundation of our hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the real foundation of our Christian hope. Because the Lord has risen, we know that He will also come again. This evening, I want to think with you about the fruit of our hope. Because we have this hope, there is a natural outworking, a fruit that comes from this hope.That is holiness of life.
那就是圣洁的生活。
Paul here in the book of Colossians speaks about this.
保罗在哥罗西书他讲到这些。
He says, the hope that is laid up for you in heaven.
他说那为你们存在天上的盼望。
And then he speaks about bearing fruit in every good work.
然后他又说在各样的事上结果子。
In John chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 3.
在约翰福音三章三节。
First John.
是约翰一书三章三节。
John says, everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself.
约翰说凡是有这样盼望的就要洁净自己。
The fruit of our hope is a life of holiness. Now, when we begin to speak about holiness, what thought immediately comes to your mind? We know that God is holy. And maybe immediately there is some kind of awesome feeling that comes when we think of a God of holiness. Isaiah in the Old Testament had that kind of experience. He went into the temple because the king had died and his heart was really troubled about the future of his country. And going into the temple, he discovered that God was there. The throne in the king's palace was empty. But he saw sitting on the throne, there in the vision in the temple, God himself. And he heard the angel saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And as he pondered the holiness of God, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." When Isaiah thought about God's holiness, his heart was filled with fear. We also need to have that same sense of awe in God's presence. At the same time, we need to balance that, realizing that God's holiness and His love cannot be separated. If holiness is the outworking of our hope, what do you think of holiness, of this word, when you hear it? Maybe you think, well, that's the kind of life that hermits and monks live. Those people that leave the world. Maybe they're very different from the rest of us. And there may be a lot of don'ts that they follow as a principle for their life. But actually, when we turn to the Old Testament and we see God's call to holiness, it is couched in the relationship of the family. God said to Moses, "Tell the people you are to be holy." And then the next thing he said was, "Tell the young people to honor their parents." And in a sense, our response to God's holiness is reflected in family relationships. Maybe when you think of holiness, you think that that is the kind of life that leaders in the church should live. Those leaders in the Old Testament, Moses, David, Isaiah, those great leaders, they should live a holy life. And in the church today, our pastors and our elders, they should live a holy life. But if you will turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19, see what it says there. Leviticus chapter 19. God is speaking to Moses. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel.
耶和华对摩西说，你要晓谕以色列全会众说。
Say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.
说你们要圣洁，因为我耶和华你们的神是圣洁。
So there in the Old Testament, God was not just talking to Moses and Aaron.He said, the message I have for you is for all the people. If you turn to 1 Peter, as we have already this evening, you will find that Peter, the disciple of Jesus, uses this same verse of Scripture to teach new believers in the church.No, holiness is not something that only the leaders are called to. That is a wrong concept. There is not a double standard for Christians. Leaders live a holy life and the rest of us just 随便You know, I think that often we have that idea. We say that the preacher, he really ought to live a holy life. But, you know, we students and we people in business and we professionals, well, because we live in the world, we don't have to live a holy life. Well, I hope that preachers live in the world too. Actually, I think all of us live in the world. And God calls all of us to a life of holiness. You remember Jesus' prayer there in John chapter 17. He said, My disciples are in the world, but they are not of the world.And the Lord has not called us out of the world, but to be light and salt in the world. God calls us to a robust Christian faith in the marketplace. And so holiness, as Paul expressed it in Colossians 1:27, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. We have the hope of the Lord's return. And because we have this unshakable hope, you and I, in our daily lives, live a life of holiness.Paul himself says, I want to present every man complete in Christ. Now, let's look for a few moments at Paul's prayer in Colossians 1. Verse 9 to 12. In verse 9, Paul says,that he is praying that the believers will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. It is in God's word that we truly come to know God's will. David in Psalm 119 says, I have hidden your word in my heart.So that I will not sin against you. And I long that these days, for all of us, will be times of putting God's word, storing God's word in our hearts. We know God's will because we love His word.But Paul prays that with this knowledge, they will go on secondly to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.
Now,
Do you know that one of the greatest problems we have as Christians today is to let our life balance our knowledge of spiritual things? For pastors, for elders, for Christians, we know a lot about God's Word. But we need, by God's grace, to live out in our daily lives the truth of the Word. And perhaps all of us here have come together realizing that there are so many areas where we have failed. Paul, there in Romans 7, speaks of the frustration and the anguish of his own heart. He said, to do good, I know about that, but I don't know how to put it into practice. For many of us, that is so true, is it not? It wasn't so many months ago that we had Chinese New Year. Maybe here in America, you forgot what day was Chinese New Year. But you remember when 1993 began. Do you remember those New Year's resolutions that you made? Where are they today? We're just 6 months down the track. Have you been keeping them? Have you lived up to that standard, those ideals, those commitments that you made to the Lord? I'm sure that if we're trusting ourselves, we'll find it impossible. And so Jesus speaks about us as Christians as branches in the vine. And we draw from the true vine that life and that strength to enable us to be Christ-like. In verse 11 of this prayer, Paul says that we are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Now, it isn't our strength, but it is his strength enabling us. I remember 13 years ago now. Mrs. Taylor and I had been invited to leave Taiwan and go to Singapore. And we were being asked to take up responsibilities as head of the former China Inland Mission. We felt totally inadequate for the task. We had worked with China Evangelical Seminary in Taiwan. Most of our colleagues were Chinese, brothers and sisters. Now we were being asked to lead a team of more than 1,000 people. Most of them were Western people. And we really felt inadequate. And as we walked on the beach, we were praying. Really, we were about to say, no, this is not something that we can take up. But as we walked along the beach, I saw a little Chinese wine bottle floating on the water. It's a beautiful little Chinese wine bottle with a Meihua design in it. If you want to see it, you come to my home in Hong Kong and I will let you see it. I went over and picked it up. And as I looked at it, immediately words of scripture came to my mind. The words of the Lord to Paul. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We were worried about the earthen vessels. We knew that we were really just clay pots, earthen vessels. But the Lord said, I will put my treasure in the earthen vessel so that the surpassing glory and the power may be seen to be of God and not of ourselves. The power is God's power. And the Lord said to us, I'm not looking for power. I have power. I'm looking for your willingness to let me use you. 不是能不能,是肯不肯. So often that is with us. Are we really willing to let God use us? The matter of strength is God's problem. The matter of willingness is your problem and my problem. And the Lord promises that kind of strength. And he promised the disciples that he would give to them the Holy Spirit. And he said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will have power. Actually, that is exactly what the disciples had lacked before. They had tried to follow Jesus. But they fought among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest. They chased the children away. They said to Jesus, do you want us to pray that fire will come down from heaven and burn up these Samaritans? And Peter three times denied Jesus. And all of the disciples fled when Jesus was taken prisoner. But Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Jesus gave that Holy Spirit to his disciples. The Holy Spirit was given to the Samaritans. The Holy Spirit was also given to the Cornelius and those gathered in his home. And friends, Peter spoke about those three experiences. In Acts chapter 15, there in verse 8 and 9, Peter is talking about the giving, the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter is very different in talking about the Holy Spirit from the way you and I talk about the Holy Spirit. So often today, when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, we are just talking about some dramatic outward manifestation. And Peter never said one word about that. He said, when the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, gave the Samaritans and those in Cornelius' home the Holy Spirit, he made no difference between us and them, them and us. They, all of our hearts were cleansed by faith. What a revelation for us. The work of the Holy Spirit in the first instance is an inner cleansing work for us. And then you and I become the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not some outward manifestation. If you and I are not cleansed by the Holy Spirit, how can we really be instruments that the Holy Spirit can use? We look at these disciples, and we see the contrast in them in the Gospels and the Book of Acts. They had left everything to follow Jesus. But what a sad lack of holiness there was in their lives. They lacked humility. They lacked love. They lacked obedience. They lacked faith. In so many ways, they were lacking. But when they received the Holy Spirit, we see them in obedience to the Lord, fearlessly living and serving God. We see a new unity in among the disciples. We see also that love in community. As I have had the opportunity over the last 13 years to go back to China, I think one of the things that has impressed me most is to see how our brothers and sisters love one another. So often in the West, or even outside of China, we don't really care for people around us. We go to church, but do we really care for each other? I've noticed there, as I've met with brothers and sisters in China, the practical ways that they care for one another. I heard about a brother in Xinjiang. He was really having a difficult time. His two sons were both ill. But the Christians came and they really cared for this family. And they prayed for these two boys. And both of them were wonderfully healed. And this brother really was on fire to witness for the Lord. But the leader there, the communist leader there, did not like him witnessing for Jesus. And he warned him to stop. But he was so thankful to the Lord for healing his two boys, he just kept right on witnessing. Do you know what happened? They forced him to leave his house. It was Christians who came and helped him quickly build a temporary home. When his boys were ill, Christians cared. When persecution came, Christians cared. Some years ago, I heard that in one place, the communist authorities made a study, a survey. Why is it that the Christians are growing so quickly in numbers? Do you know what they found out? The report that came back after the study was this. They said, these Christians are doing the things that the cadres ought to be doing in society. There are hurting families. Maybe a couple about to break up. The cadre has no time to help them. It is Christians who have moved in to help. Let me tell you a story. I remember the first time I went back to my hometown of Kaifeng. The city where I was born. That was in 1980. It was an unforgettable experience. It had rained that afternoon like it rained yesterday here. But my mother, who was 82, said, "Son, take me out. I want to go and see Gung Zhang Lao." I said, "We'll go tomorrow. It's rained badly this afternoon." My mother said, "No, we'll go tonight." And so we went tonight. And we came to the home of Elder Gong. And what a night, what an evening of blessing we had as we listened to testimony after testimony. He told my mother, he said, "One of your students here in Kaifeng has been greatly blessed of the Lord." During the Cultural Revolution, she was the one who fearlessly went from home to home to encourage the Christians. Many of the husbands had been sent off to hard labor, to the reform Lao Gai Ying. And this sister went home by home to try and encourage the wives and the children. Love in community. There was a communist cadre in Kaifeng. He was not a Christian. And yet this sister could also show love for him as well. Maybe he had persecuted her before. Yeah. Well, this cadre was in real trouble. Because his wife had been demented for 18 years. And he didn't know what to do with her. Western medicine, Chinese medicine, nothing helped. And he didn't dare take his wife on the street. Because she would tear her clothes off and rant and rave and be an embarrassment to her, to him. So he took his wife, Tada Iron, and he locked her in a. She began to cry out. She said, "Jesus can save me." How she could talk about Jesus, I don't know. Had she gone to Sunday school when she was a child? Maybe. Had she listened to gospel broadcast and heard about Jesus? Maybe. Had she seen a tract? She was crying, "Jesus can save me." And her husband didn't know who Jesus was. So he began to ask, "Who is this Jesus that she is shouting about now?" And they said, "Don't you know? That's the one the Christians worship." He said, "Are there any Christians in Kaifeng?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Take me to them." And so with his wife, dragging her along, he went to the home of this Christian sister. Knocked at the door. And when she opened it, he said, "Are you a Christian?" "Well, what would you say?" No. No, seriously, what would you say? It might mean your life. What would you say? She said, "Yes, sir, I am." "What can I do to help you?" He said, "It's my wife. She's been demented for 18 years. I don't know what to do with her. But lately, she's been crying out, 'Jesus can save me.'" And he said, "You believe in Jesus. Now I want you to save her." What would you do? Would you quickly shut the door? and say, sorry, you came to the wrong place.
对不起啊，这个来错了。
This sister did not do that.
这个姐妹没有这样做。
She said to the carter, leave your wife here.
她告诉这个朋友说，你把你的太太留在这里。
You can go home.
你可以回家。
I will take care of your wife.
我会帮助她。
That is love.
你知道这是爱。
Torn clothes, disheveled hair, filthy body, leave your wife here. I will take care of her.
你知道这个女子又脏，衣服又破了。脸都肮脏了，但是她说你把她留在这里。
She took her into her home.
这姐妹就把她带到她家里。
And bathed her and clothed her.
让她洗澡，给衣服给她穿。
She fed her and loved her.
给她东西吃，爱她。
And in less than 1 month's time, she was completely restored.
在不到一个月，她就完全好过来。
18 years of darkness was past.
18年黑暗的时期都过去。
She became a new person.Not only healed emotionally, but she became a new person in Jesus Christ. She went out and began to witness to what Jesus had done for her. Do you know who the first person she was that she led to the Lord? Yeah, you guessed it. Yeah, that's right, her husband. He had seen her torment for 18 years.And then the love of a Christian sister. And the whole thing was changed. I wonder how it is for us. Would we make a difference in our community because we are Christians? Do you remember in the book of Acts what it said about the Christians?In Jerusalem, the religious leaders saw the Do you remember in the book of Acts what it said about the Christians? In Jerusalem, the religious leaders saw the disciples. And the Bible says they took note that they had been with Jesus.
圣经告诉我们，他们记得，他们注意这些曾经跟随过耶稣的。
Do people see that we have been with Jesus?
别人能不能从我们身上看出我们是曾经跟随耶稣？
Up there in the city of Antioch.
你知道在安提阿这个城。
The community looked at those persecuted believers.
那里的人看见这些受逼迫的信徒。
Those believers were homeless.They've been forced out of Jerusalem. Stephen had been stoned. And these people came to Antioch. But persecution did not make them bitter. The moral pollution of the city there of Antioch did not stain their lives.Instead, they began to change their community for God. Do you know what the community said? They gave them a new name. They called them Christians. Little Christs walking the streets of Antioch.Is that the way it is in Cincinnati? Is that the way it is in Columbus? Is that the way it is in Cleveland? And Chicago? And Dayton? Do people seeing us see Jesus? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.Antioch, the Christians in Antioch had that kind of testimony. Communism came to power in China more than 40 years ago. It came to power with tremendous idealism.It came with the idealism of creating a new man. Mao Zedong's new man. Without selfishness. Somebody who was living to serve the people. I sat at a table in Taiwan last summer.
去年夏天我在泰国坐在椅子。
太原。山西太原。
山西。
Yeah. And the party secretary was sitting at the table.
然后党的书记他就坐在我旁边。
And we were talking together.
我们在那里谈话。
And I asked him where was the idealism of the Long March.
那我说那长征的理想现在在哪里呢？
Said, no more.
他不要再说了。
Everybody is 向前看。
每个人都向前看。
I believe that the hope of China today is in Christians who will live out that kind of holy, selfless life.
我深深地相信，今天中国的盼望是记在基督徒的身上，他们愿意过一个没有自私、圣洁的生活。
We can't do it by ourselves.
我们靠自己是不能的。
You look with me, and I talked that day with the communist secretary, and I said, look at Chinese history.
那我那天跟那位朋友说，你看看中国的历史。
Mencius was a great philosopher. 孟子。
孟子是一个很伟大的哲学家。
He believed in education.
他相信教育。
And he said that from the beginning, man was good.
他相信从开始人本来是好人，性善。
人之初善，性本善。Yeah. And therefore he said all you need is education and you just nourish that good seed inside.
所以你唯有需要教育，你就把这个善的种子可以在里头让它长起来。
And actually Mencius was an incredible person.
你知道孟子是在一个很了不起的人。
When I was studying Chinese literature, the teacher had me memorize a section.
当我在读中国文学的时候，老师要我记。
Probably all of us can repeat that section from memory. You remember Mencius was talking about fish. And he was talking about bear's paws. And he said, I like both of them. But if I have to make a choice, I don't want fish, I will eat bear's paws. Yeah, I think Mencius was from Guangzhou. But when he finished saying that, then he really came to the point. He said, I like righteousness. And I also like life. But if I can't have both, I'm ready to give up life for righteousness. Is that something that you and I are prepared to do? Is that what you and I are prepared to do? Mencius said he was. But education was not enough. And today education is not enough. We have a lot of knowledge, but we lack the power to live out what we know. And in Chinese history, along came the legalists, and they said, you need laws. And they said, use reward and punishment to control people. But did that do it? Friends, only through the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, can we live a life of holiness. There in Thessalonica, the Christians turned from idols to live, to serve the living God. And to wait for the Lord's return. It was that hope of the Lord's return that enabled them by the power of the Holy Spirit to live victorious Christian lives. Look at Ephesus. When the gospel came to the city of Ephesus, there was a remarkable revival that took place there. Actually, do you know the work was begun in Ephesus by lay people? From Aquila and Priscilla, those tent makers, they began the work in Ephesus.
就是织帐篷的
And then Paul came. And he built on that foundation. And the Holy Spirit began to work. Do you know that the gospel in Ephesus shook the stock market? It actually affected the economy of Ephesus. The business community was up in arms because the gospel was affecting their business. I wonder today in Hong Kong or in Singapore, where there are more and more Christians, are we shaking the stock market? I'm afraid not. I'm afraid the stock market is shaking a lot of Christians. But do you know what happened in Ephesus? Those Christians became so serious about their faith. They not only left their idols, they went home and cleaned up their homes. Now, I haven't been in the Midwest long enough to find out whether we've ever had a service like that. They had a very interesting service in Ephesus. It was a bonfire. And they took the filth from their homes and they burned it. Now, it wasn't just ordinary rubbish. It was morally polluting stuff. And it says that those kind of things that they used to tell their fortune, they burned them. Pornographic literature. If they had videotapes, they would have burned a lot of them too. No, I don't mean just any videotapes. There are a lot of good videotapes. But there's a lot of pornographic videotapes that you know about and I know about. Are some of them in our homes? Do you know what happened? When they figured how much the bonfire cost, they discovered it was 50,000 pieces of silver. I figured that out once, and it came to 150 people burning, each one burning 1 year's pay. Their homes were pretty filthy. And I say, friends, that for many of us who are Christians, in our homes, there is a lot of filth, moral filth, that we need to clean out. How can we expect our next generation to live for Christ when we are not setting an example ourselves? How can we apply this to our life today? It means honesty in the home, in the school, in business. I think for many of us, the temptation to cover up the unethical practice in business may be a very large temptation. It may be very easy for us to point at China today and talk about the corruption in government and in society. But how about ourselves? Just 2 weeks ago, when I was in China, I saw a very interesting contrast. In the city of Chengdu, I met a person who works in the bank. He invited Mrs. Taylor and me to their home. Up there on the 22nd floor, it was a beautiful view of the Yangtze River. It was a misty day, and you could see the mountains in the background. It looked just like a Chinese painting. And the cable car was going back and forth across the river. And the banker said to me, he said, you know, we really should not have this home. There's no way in which we in the bank could own our own homes like this. But the bank has quietly worked with all of us, and we've been able to manipulate the accounts in the bank, so we've cheated the government, and everybody from the 12th floor up to the 23rd floor has their own home. He said, I hate the system. Maybe we feel that way about things too. Is that really true? I went to another city. And I was talking to friends there. One friend is a doctor. And she was telling me that as the head of the department, she is responsible for all of the receipts that are made out when patients receive medical attention. She is a Christian. If she receives $500, she writes down $500. But the other doctors in the hospital are not very happy about that. And they came to her and they said, listen, we've got a new idea. For your patients, you write out the receipts for them. For our patients, you let us write the receipts ourselves. Of course, you know what they plan to do. They would receive $1,000 from the patient. And then write $500. And then the $500 would go into their own pocket. Well, what about us? What about when we make our tax report? What about our other business practices? Is there holiness of life expressed in the way we do things, in the way we live in the world? I was talking to a businessman in Manila a few years ago. He was driving me to the service that morning. He said, Reverend Taylor, I must confess to you that there are a lot of men in our church that don't like to come to church. I said, why is that? They said they let their wives go to church. But they just cannot live with their consciences. Because when they come to church, they see God's word. And it's like looking at their face in a mirror. And they realize the kind of life they ought to live. But he said, I'll tell you the truth. In the business world in Manila today, you cannot exist, if you live an honest life. What do we do? And I said, is there some way that we Christians, lawyers, and others can stand together and make our protest against a system that is so corrupt? Why should just the businessman have to live with a tormenting conscience? If we die, are we prepared to die together? Or are we prepared to stand together and fight for truth and honesty and integrity? I know there are people that say we shouldn't encourage people to go into politics. I don't feel that way. I feel that we need to see Christians in every area of society. And the church stands with them, seeing that we really live out light and salt in the world. I have the sense that just over the last year or two, the moral decay of the United States has gone forward more rapidly. Today we talk about safe sex. We never talk about what the Bible tells as a moral standard. But we just teach people how to get self-satisfaction and not bear the consequences. But the scripture says, God is not deceived. What we reap, what we sow, we will also reap. I thank God for the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. When Potiphar's wife came to tempt him, Joseph's response was like this. He said, "How can I commit this great sin and offend God?" You see, friends, when we see God and we have that hope of the second coming, our lives are changed. They're different. The Lord has called us to a life of holiness. Because we look forward to the coming of Jesus. You and I live in a way that is pleasing to Him. Yes, temptations will come. But Paul tells us, no temptation has taken us but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able. Because with the temptation, He will make a way of escape. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By following God's word. God's word cleanses. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The fruit of our hope. A life of holiness. You know, I feel, friends, that God is doing something new in the Chinese church. Though in the society around us we see many people who have given up their faith in God's word and in Jesus Christ. Has He brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this? Could it be that where we in Chinese society have always thought that Christianity is a foreign religion? Today, the Lord Himself is going to use us to bring light and salt to people in the West. You can make a difference. On your campus, in your office, in your community, let us live lives of holiness. Jesus is coming again. And because we have that hope, we live lives that are pleasing to Him. Shall we pray? I wonder if you've come to this conference really feeling defeated. You know that you have not been living a holy life. You have not been living a victorious Christian life. this evening as we have pondered the hope of the Christian. Jesus is coming again. What has he said to you about holiness of life? The scripture says, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. Would you like to bow humbly before the Lord this evening and confess your failure to him? Ask him to cleanse your heart, to renew your mind. If you would you just stand at your own seat so I can pray for you this evening? Just in the quietness of this moment, would you, before the Lord, confess your sin? Dishonesty. Impurity. Pride. Anger. Would you ask him this evening to give you the power to live a holy life? Could we join together in praying first, and then I will close in praying for all of us. We'll all pray together. 亲爱的天父，我们感谢地求你今天晚上将临在我们中间。主啊，你借着你的话向我们说话，求你今天光照我们的心，使我们看见我们自己的需要，照着主你的话来承认我们的罪，离弃我们的罪，回到主你的面前。 主啊，你知道今天晚上我们每一位所需要的，求你大大的做工。主，我们仰望你，谢谢主，你把我们带到山上这里，有机会来安静的思想你的话。巴不得主，今天晚上圣灵自由的运行在我们中间。 主啊，谢谢你，你已经感动许多弟兄姊妹的心。我们承认过去我们亏欠主你的荣耀，我们在言语上得罪主，我们在行为上也得罪主。主啊，我们没有做我们该做的事情，我们在心里的深处有对不起主的思想和态度。求主今天晚上赦免我们的罪。 你说我们若赦免我们若承认我们的罪，你是信实的，是公义的，必要赦免我们的罪，洗净一切的不义。主啊，求你今天晚上真是照着你的应许洁净我们的心。巴不得主今天晚上圣灵真是洁净我们，充满我们，使我们从今以后过主所喜悦的生活。 主啊，巴不得你帮助我们在我们的家活出基督的样式来，使我们的孩子、我们的邻居看见小基督在他们中间，知道我们是基督徒。主啊，这是我们自己做不到的事情，求你听我们的祷告。在我们中间有许多的学生，主啊，帮助我们在校园的地方为你做美好的见证。 有许多做工在社会里面，在我们办公的地方，主啊，巴不得我们真是把你的恩典带到我们办公的地方，使更多的人认识耶稣，因为主，我们以身作则，我们活出耶稣基督的样式。主啊，求你今天晚上在我们中间做工，使我们得着你的洁净，从今以后过一个圣洁的生活。 靠主得胜，主啊，像保罗所说的，靠主我能完全得胜。我们感谢赞美主的恩典，这样祈求祷告，奉耶稣基督的名，阿门。